The Pelicana was the world's most unwanted ship. In 1986, during the Democratic National Convention, the sanitation workers went on strike. You could imagine the havoc when that many people have gathered in the city of Philadelphia and the sanitation workers were not there to pick up the trash. To deal with this uncomfortable, unpleasant scenario, trash was corded together and dumped on a ship called the Pelicano. And the Pelicano took the trash that had been accumulated during this convention week due to the sanitation workers' strike. And it took it out to sea. The problem is, for 2 years, there was no place for it to dock because nobody wanted it. Too much trash. The only thing that they would allow the Pelicano to do was to refuel and keep going. Just too much trash. And so, for 2 straight years, it just had to go from port to port, getting refueled, but having to carry its trash. It couldn't find a place to rest. A place of rest, relaxation, enjoyment, sort of forgetting the troubles behind. But the reality is, we go back to the real world. We go back to the world of a life that's been dumped on us. Circumstances that we can't offload. Realities that perhaps we can't change. And we go back from a time of refueling, from refueling to reality. You don't get to live in this environment. Have folk taking care of your room for you. Cooking all your meals for you. Allowing you to go from place to place, port to port. All the Pelicano could do was hope for another place to refuel. People in their lives do that. We do that with church. We go there on Sunday for a fill-up because our gas tanks run empty all week long with the trials, the troubles, the tribulations, the difficulties of life. So the question as we review our theme, to breathe, to rest, is how do you make it between filling stations? How do you make it between church services? How do you make it between cruises? How do you make it? When all you can do is go from port to port, experience to experience, church service, vacations to vacations. What do you do when life has made you tired? And if the truth were told, life can make you tired. Due to sins and due to circumstances, life can make you tired. As we conclude, comes from our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew 11, it says in verse 25, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and you have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. The wise and intelligent were those who lived their lives by human wisdom. Lived their lives by logic and rationale. You remember in the garden, there were two trees. the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there was a choice. Would you live by revelation or would you live by reason? Reason, your ability to figure life out on your own, figure good and evil, right and wrong, independently of me, or would you live your life by revelation, the tree of life? Jesus makes a profound statement in his prayer. He says, Father, you have chosen to hide these things, spiritual reality, from the wise and intelligent. You will not find out how to live life from Yale or Harvard or UCLA or even seminary, because you can have notes without a relationship. He says, not only that, but God intentionally hides it. He keeps it from you when you live life by reason that trumps revelation. Of course, God wants us to use our minds and thoughts, but never to trump revelation, but to have reason reinforce and reflect that which is revealed by him. And so he literally hides the very thing that people need and want. And he says it pleases the Father to hide it. The more self-sufficient you are, the less of God you'll experience. The more self-sufficient I am, the less of God I will experience, because he has hidden it. And it says, you have given it to infants. Life. You've given it to infants. Now, there's one thing true about infants that you'll always find, and that is they are totally dependent. You've got to do it all for them, because they recognize or not that they are unable to make life work on their own in the physical realm. You have to feed them, you have to clothe them, you have to house them, you have to change them. You just got to do it for them. And you recognize that they are unable to do it for themselves. Well, what a parent is to an infant, we are to God. Dependent. And that's why over and over and over and over again, the Bible condemns self-sufficiency. Life lived by reason, independent of revelation. And so he prays a prayer, and he says, I thank you, Father, that you have so constructed the world to work in this way, where men will have to be dependent upon you to make life work in the way you have ordained it to work. And then he says three things after he concludes his brief prayer, that he says to the folks gathered before him that I share with myself and with you as you leave this docking station and you go back to real life, whatever that means in your personal situation. He says three things. In verse 28, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me if you're tired and life has become too heavy for you, too weighty. When there is no cruise and there is no church service and there is no counselor, and there's nothing in the physical world that can lift the load. He says, come to me. Because while you have to leave the ship tomorrow, you do not have to leave him on the ship. He says, come to me. You and I go to the doctor when it has become clear that over the counter is not good enough. We go to the doctor when the weight of our physical well-being has burdened us down, or it hurts so bad that Walgreens and CVS just won't do. without a prescription from a doctor. God allows sometimes life to get weighty and the dump to become so overwhelming that we are forced to the great physician. He says, I invite you, because God is not going to give it to the non-dependent. But he says, if you are heavy laden, that is an invitation to come to me. And notice what he says, I will give you rest. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to earn it. I'm handing it away. There are very few people who would turn down a free cruise, because that's turning down an opportunity to rest. I will give you rest. That raises a question. What is rest? God promised his people all through the Bible from creation on, you hear this word rest. He rested on the seventh day. He told them to rest on the Sabbath. There was Sabbath rest every 7 years. There was the year of Jubilee rest every 49th year. And then he promised his people the greatest rest of all, the promised land. It's called rest. Hebrews 6, Hebrews 4 calls the promised land rest. Rest did not mean there were no challenges. Remember, in the promised land, there were the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Jebusites. There were the Ites. When you get off the boat, you're going to run into the Ites. They're going to be home waiting for you. But he told them, I'm going to give you rest. That didn't mean that these people were going to disappear. It meant that he was going to remove the weight of their presence, that their presence would no longer dictate their reality, and that they would be able to be at ease even in a challenging environment, that they could enjoy God's presence even when there was trouble in the neighborhood, Ai, Jericho, and the various other challenges that we would be in the promised land. I will give you rest. Come to me. I have a trash masher in my home. And so we dump garbage in. We press the button. The weight comes down and mashes it. You know what it's doing? It's creating room for more junk. Trash masher creates room for me to put more trash on top of it. I push the button again so I can put more trash on top of it. But on Thursdays, the garbage men come and say, come to me. They say, come to me. Because on Thursday, I take my accumulated garbage. I have yet to have a garbage man knock on my door and say, do you have any trash for me today? Maybe some of y'all live in those kind of neighborhoods where it's elite garbage collection. But where I live, garbage folk don't knock on my door and say, do you have garbage for me? I got to come to them. I got to take it out to my trash can. But like clockwork on Thursday morning, they come by and they pick up the trash that I have discarded. It's easy in our evangelical community to become spiritual trash mashers and simply lop stuff on top of stuff. And Jesus says, bring it to me. You know, folks who know me know I love football, and the quarterback gets the ball and everybody's after the quarterback because he's got the ball. And so they want to get him. They want to get the ball from him. But then he'll hand the ball off to a halfback, and something amazing happens. The attack shifts. They start running after the halfback now because the quarterback has handed off. Jesus says, hand it off to me. Hand it off to me because I know how to run the ball. I know how to carry the rock. He says, come to me. And what are the qualifications when you come to him? All you got to do is be heavy laden. Life has got to be weighty. That's the only qualification. You got too much trash for your trash masher life to hold. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Secondly, he says, take my yoke upon you. There are three things in that statement. Take my yoke. This is when an oxen was hitched up with another oxen. Take my yoke. The mature ox would be hitched to the baby ox to teach the baby ox how to plow. It had to learn that from the mature ox. And so there would be dual yokes. First of all, it spoke of submission because a yoke was a harness around the neck of the ox. So it had to submit to the authority of the yoke because the yoke was now going to direct it. It couldn't go its own way. It had to submit. If you want to rest, you must submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ because it's his yoke. So you have to submit to his authority and his harness around your life. Because we are like sheep and we love to go astray. We love to go our own way. We value our independence. He says, take my yoke, submit. Second thing, though, that belongs to a yoke is work, because the whole point of a yoke was to pull a plow. So that was responsibility. It's called walking by faith. It's called acting on what the Lord Jesus Christ requests or requires. So you just can't believe it. In the scripture that Priscilla talked about just now, they told the folks when the wine ran out to put water in the basins. And Mary said a very powerful thing. She said, whatever he asks you to do, do it. Whatever he asks you to do, do it. Even though right now it seems a little crazy. We need wine and you discussing water. Doesn't seem to connect. But God can't turn water into wine if there is no water that he requires. So you must submit. And then you must do the work of submission. But it speaks of one other thing. Companionship, because the two yokes were connected. It speaks of intimacy. I was stuck on the side of the road. My car stopped working. And I, like you have done perhaps, called AAA. I'm stuck on the highway. I'm stuck. I can't go anywhere. I'm trapped. I call AAA. AAA comes out. And they yoked my car. They yoked my car to their truck. They hitched me. So wherever they went, my car went because we were yoked. And then he told me, you come on and sit up here with me. You can rest. I'll drive, you rest, because we're yoked. He drove me back home. Now, I was trying to get home all the time. I couldn't get home because I was stuck. But somebody who had a yoke took me home and I got the rest. Didn't even have to drive. I just rode. It speaks of the intimacy of relationship, of companionship that he wants us to have with him. He says, take my yoke upon you. Piggyback on me, if you will. And let me pull you. You know, I was with Jonathan Pitts, actually, last week, I believe it was. And I walked up, and because I'm a executive platinum flyer, they had a seat available, and so I got an upgrade. I said, I would like a companion upgrade for Jonathan Pitts, who happened to be traveling with me. And the lady said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I said, why not? Don't I get a companion upgrade if there's an upgrade for me? She says, well, yes, you get a companion upgrade, but only if he's ticketed with you. He's got a separate reservation. So he wasn't ticketed with you. He's ticketed separate from you. So even though he's with you, when it comes to our computer, he ain't with you. And because he's not with you, we can't give him the rights and privileges we can give to you because he was ticketed separately. In other words, he wasn't yoked. And so because he wasn't yoked, he had to go to the back. He wasn't yoked. The point is simply, it is that relationship of yoking that creates you being able to piggyback on his rest. And finally, he says, learn from me. In verse 29, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We all love that verse. Learn from me. Come to me. Take the yoke from me, be hitched to me, and then learn, because the job of the yoke was to teach the older ox, younger ox from the older ox, how to plow this field, how to plow life. Learn how I related to the Father and how I rolled in my life. Find out how I did things, how I related, how I responded, how I reacted to the various scenarios, because there is no scenario in your life that Jesus has not had that category of situation in his life. He's in all manner, he was tested as we are. He's been where you are in the categories. He says, learn from me, because you hitched to me. And he says, if you learn from me, once you learn from me, you will discover that you will find rest. Don't read that too fast. A few verses earlier, he says, if you come to me, I'll give you rest. But if you learn from me, you'll find rest. You see that distinction? Come to me, and I'll give you rest. But if you learn from me, you'll find rest. So it is possible to be given something you can't locate. It is possible that you are given rest, but you're still trying to find something you already have because you haven't learned how to tap into what you've been given. He says, the way you tap in to find what I give you when you come is to learn from me. And the reason you will know it's me, he concludes by saying, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke, the harness I'm putting around you that's attached to me, is easy. The Greek word easy means custom made. That's what the Greek word means. It means it's a yoke that fits you. So don't mess with my yoke, and I ain't going to mess with yours, because they are custom made, the unique application of God's truth to individuals. The yokes don't fit the same because the needs aren't the same. The pressures aren't the same. We're not going home to the same thing. And you will know it's me, he says. Because my yoke is easy, and watch this, and my burden is light. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say my burden doesn't exist. No, my burden exists. But once you are yoked to me, it is not nearly as heavy as it was when you were carrying it yourself. It is light. They're packing up our bags tonight. They're going to pick it up outside of our doors. When they do, We will pick them up tomorrow morning and we'll make our way to, for most of us, to the airport. I bet you on 75 or 80% of the bags here, there are wheels. Because that's how they make them now. Yet, in every single suitcase, it's going to be full of stuff. Stuff you got to carry. Stuff you got to check in. Stuff you got to lift out of the car. But very few of us will be carrying our suitcases. We're going to be rolling them. Rolling them does not change what's in them. It changes the burden of having to move them. Because what those wheels allow to happen is we allow that burden to be light. So there are two ways you can get your suitcase back home or to the flight. You can carry it. But Jesus says, if you pay close attention to me, you'll discover I didn't put some wheels on your drama. May God bless you as you roll on home and as you learn to breathe and rest. God bless you.